Hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to Comic Talk, the podcast where we let comics talk about, well, comedy. My name is Jesse Rivera, and I am your host. I hope you're having a wonderful day. Now, sit back, relax, and enjoy the Comic Talk. Here we go! Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Comic Talk Studios. I have with me today, on this lovely afternoon, my very good friend, Buddy.
Hello. Hey, what's up, Jess?
I always say that like I'm calling people to the stage, and then it's kind of awkward because we're just kind of sitting here looking across.
No, across at each other. As a comic, we're used to it.
Yeah, we're used
called
to
up like that.
Well, I thought you were gonna say as a comic we're used to awkwardness, but yeah. That too. How's it going, man?
It's good. How are you doing, man? How are you doing?
I'm doing good, man. Thanks for coming out to the Comic Box. Comic Talk Studios. Yeah. I've been calling it Comic Pac all morning. I don't know why. I haven't even been listening to Tupac. I do listen to a lot of Tupac. He's really in my heavy rotation.
Yeah,
but same. Not on a Sunday morning. Sunday mornings are for gospel, Beatles. Though? He's kind of gospel. Is that what you're saying?
No. Have you heard the song Ghetto Gospel by Tupac?
No. Is that one of the posthumous Tupac songs?
Yeah, but it has Elton John in it, so.
See, no. Do you think... Okay, I love Elton John. But do you think like Tupac was like, I want to record a track with Elton John, yo?
Who wouldn't? Eminem wanted to. Like, I think Tupac would have. Yeah, definitely. And especially if you've heard the song before. Oh, it's one of my favorites.
Really?
Yeah.
I stopped listening to the Tupac After Death. Maybe the second one. I knew I was into the first one right after he died. Because, the first one, did Machiavelli come out before or after he died? I want to say it was right after he died.
Yeah, I think it was.
Yeah, and then there was one with a track called Are You Still Down? That was after he died. And then that was the last one after that. I was just like, he didn't work this hard when he was alive. So he recorded
200 and something tracks before he died, just in case he died, so that he would have things to come out. And I don't know, some of them are good, but some of them, clearly he just was putting things in.
Right. So, you're here today, we're going to talk about a joke. It's a short joke.
Yeah.
But it's pretty solid, because I laughed out loud when I listened to it this morning.
Yeah, so, I did a lot of one-liners.
Do you want to tell us the name of this joke?
Okay, I call it in my notebook, I call it Bad at Being Gay.
Bad at Being Gay.
Yeah.
All right, I wonder what Bad at Being Gay is. Well, we're going to find out. So, we're going to take a listen to Bad at Being Gay.
I consider myself a people pleaser. Everyone who meets me, they think, buddy, you're gay, right? And... being a people pleaser, I was like, let's try it. So there I am, sucking a dick, and I start to gag, and I threw up. To be honest, you guys, I don't know if that makes me straight or if being gay is just something else I'm really terrible at.
That was my guest, Buddy, and the joke was called Bad at Being Gay. How long have you been telling that joke, man?
Okay, so that's part of... a set that I've been doing for about 6 months now.
About 6 months?
Yeah. I completely changed up my style this year. And so this year I've been doing darker stuff and I've been writing more towards a character, I guess. And that was part of that. That was,
We're going to talk about that. Remind me to talk about the darker stuff.
Yeah.
Because I do have something I remember about you. And, but first of all, this joke was called Bad at Being Gay, and where did you record it at?
The Spark in San Francisco. It's a weed shop. I was doing a guest spot on the Gateway Show. They do that at the Comedy Spot here in Sacramento. It's basically where the comics go up and they do a set completely sober. They can't have coffee, alcohol, weed, nothing for the day. Then there's a halftime where everyone goes and gets as high as they possibly can, and then they come up and they do another set, and that was part of that.
So this wasn't recorded at the Gateway Show, but it was part of?
It was at the Gateway Show in San Francisco.
Oh, it was at the San Francisco Gateway Show. Gotcha.
I got to do the guest spot. It was really fun. Yeah.
That's awesome. Okay, so a guest spot on the Gateway Show, is that the same thing? Like, you'll get to do the before and after?
I just got to do the hype part.
Oh, well, that...
the best part.
Okay. Yeah, so the Gateway Show, folks, for those of you who don't know about it, it's an awesome show. It tours, like, all over
the United States. Anywhere weed is legal and recreational.
Okay, yeah, that makes a lot more sense. So, in cities where weed is recreational and legal, because there's lots of cities where weed is recreational, but cities where weed is recreational and legal... Look for the Gateway Show, and what the premise is that the comics do a sober set. I didn't know that other part, that he asked that you not even be caffeinated.
No kind of stimulants at all.
Oh, right, because we're talking comics, so there's all kinds of different stimulants.
Yeah.
I prefer caffeine myself.
Yeah.
I couldn't imagine going on stage and not... I will have a cup of coffee before I leave the house when I'm going to do a set.
Yeah.
And I need it because I'm an old man, and these sets are like 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 10:30, 11. Yeah. They're late at night, and so I definitely need a stimulant. And I don't know if I've ever performed not having had a cup of coffee, or I've even had like a shot of soda. Like I've asked for like a third of a cup of Pepsi.
Just some caffeine. Yeah. I typically either like to smoke or maybe even drink a little bit before I go on a set, just because I have terrible nerves. But seeing some of those comics go up, especially the ones you know typically use stimulants like a coffee or alcohol or weed to get on stage, seeing them perform without it is very interesting. It's very fun. It was a cool thing. You could tell because it was San Francisco. There were San Francisco comedians who were definitely potheads, and then there was a comic up who wasn't a pothead, and his high set was amazing.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Have you seen? I've gone to a couple of them, but I've always the Gateway shows that I've gone to, I've just been lucky enough to happen to be at the Comedy Spot, like turning in a key or like meeting with Kevin or meeting with Brian really quick.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm about to leave and I'm like, oh, is that the Gateway Show? And I'll stick around, and I've stuck around and got to watch the high sets.
Yeah.
So I've seen people like stare at their phone for like a minute. I've seen people giggle. I've seen someone that didn't want to stop touching the back wall. Like the back wall was holding them up.
Yeah.
And I think it's definitely a lot funner to watch people who don't get high.
Yeah.
Get high versus that, because there's some people you can't tell the difference.
Yeah, some of them actually get better when they're high, and that's interesting.
Right.
They're like, they feel better on stage when they're high. They're like, oh, okay, you can tell the smokers from the non-smokers.
Yeah, you can't tell the difference with some of them. Yeah. That's awesome. And what's it like performing to a San Francisco crowd versus a Sacramento crowd?
So, yeah, my stuff is very very alt, I guess. And San Francisco, they were way more receptive than I thought they could be. Like, going up there, I was super nervous because I was like, this is not my kind of crowd. But they laughed so hard at all of the stuff. Everything about therapy that I thought was going to eat it there, they were eating it alive. Mostly because they were high. They were very receptive. And it was a big crowd, like 70, I think, was the final number. Yeah.
That's a pretty good crowd for an alt scene. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a great crowd. You mentioned earlier that you're trying to branch out into a little bit more of a darker set, creating a character. I think I saw a little bit of this, and I talked about it to people afterwards, when maybe about a month ago I saw you perform at the High Water.
Oh yeah.
Do you remember that set?
Yeah.
How do you feel about that set? And like, I want to hear your perspective on that set, and then I'm going to give you my perspective on that set, because I definitely talked about your set later on that night to some friends.
That is actually one of my favorite sets of all time, because when I got up there, my energy was really loud, and at first the crowd was very receptive. And then the very loud table left, and then it was just left with the rest of the audience. And as soon as I hit into my therapy stuff and my very serious and like my darker stuff, it went dead silent. And I had two options at that point, either like sit in the audience and like try to work with them or figure out what's going on, or like I did, I bullheadedly went through it. And I love that set so much. I think about it all the time as one of my favorite bombs of all time.
Dude, I wouldn't call it a bomb, because I said almost the exact same thing about that set, but I did not call it a bomb. This is what I said about your set, is that you came in strong, you had the audience, and then you went dark and you lost them, but you stuck with what you were doing. I see exactly what you're talking about, where you like thought to yourself, I could please the crowd, or I could plow through what I said I was going to do, and you chose to do what you wanted to do.
Yeah.
And I saw the audience slowly, one by one, come back to you. And yes, you came out solid. Crowd loved you. You went dark. Crowd kind of went, what the fuck? And then your what the fuck shit was so good and so well practiced. Like, you could tell you weren't like just ad-libbing that set, that it was something that you had worked on. And you won that crowd back. Yeah. And you got a really good... I don't know what you remember about it, but I know that when you walked off the stage, you got a really good receptive.
Yeah, that final joke that I have, it almost never doesn't get a big laugh. So I knew even if I was going to bomb that was going to get some love. I saw what you were seeing. I was seeing different people like pick up what I was laying down, but it did feel like they did die on me. It just went completely silent, and I felt that. And but that last joke, my hardest day joke, that almost always gets a good laugh. So I was like, I felt the love going off the stage. That's why I want to do High Water again when I have a free Wednesday. I love that crowd. That energy in there is so different.
Yeah, I had so much fun there that night too. And I was talking to Marcus Parker afterwards, and he said that the crowd was a little bit not as much as it's been before, that we were kind of there on a little bit of an off night as far as the crowd goes. So I'm really looking forward to try to get back. Yeah, like you said, when I have a free Wednesday, I don't like going out on weeknights. I don't like staying out past 10 o'clock. That's only like an hour past 10 o'clock to do that. But I think, was it Mars Parker's What the Fuck Wednesdays at High Water is definitely...
It's a party.
Yeah, it's definitely a party. He does such a great job keeping that energy going. You never know who's gonna pop in and do a guest set.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that sometimes means that you're gonna get bumped if someone comes in and does a guest set. But dude, that's comedy. Yeah. You know, I mean, you hear the big times talk about that all the time.
Oh yeah.
I heard, I think it was Greg Fitzsimmons one night said it. He was waiting for his spot to go on at the Comedy Store, and somebody was like, oh, "Fuck, Sandler just walked in," and they're like, "Oh man, Adam Sandler's here." Yeah, and he brought his guitar. And then, like, every comic was like, fuck it, I'm going home.
Because
he's going to run, like, an hour worth of new material. And so that's the way it goes, man.
Yeah, yeah. It's fair, though. It is. And it that's such a fun environment in there. So it's always fun and different.
So you said that this year was a year that you decided that you wanted to start doing a little bit dark and maybe working on a character. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, so...
And not give the whole thing away, right? But, like, just the concept and what's there, what's behind that?
No, yeah, so I've been doing... I'm an adult, I'm 31 now, but only since about 2016, the last 3 years, have I been going to, like, therapy and seeing doctors and all of this stuff. And once I got my diagnosis, I was like... It changed everything about what I did. Like, I just wanted to, once I figured out what was wrong, I started working on like, oh, how can I, you know, like deal with life with these issues? So it was, I got back into theater. I got back into improv, all the things I love. And comedy was one of the things that I've always dipped my toes in, but never like went head first and just did it full time. And so last year, once I started my theater company, they pushed me to do comedy again. And I was like, well, I've got all this new stuff about the different things I found out about myself. Like, I've explored all my sexuality, all these different things over the last couple of years. And so I was like, I want to talk about that stuff, but I want to be dark. I want to be uncomfortable, like rape. I want to talk about stuff like that that's uncomfortable, but like I want it to be funny but dark. Like, I want things to be uncomfortable. That's how I like to play in comedy now.
And how's that working out for you?
I love it. It is such a wealth of material that I found, and I'm challenging myself to write 5 minutes new every month. Not that I have to perform it all month, but just 5 new minutes once a month, you know. And it's been so much fun.
That's a really good exercise. Just write 5 minutes. Not necessarily that you've got to perform it just yet, but that you're just doing it.
Yeah.
What was your comedy like before that?
It was way too superficial. I did jokes about like traffic and working in offices, because that was like the stuff that I knew up until that point. And I was so reserved with myself. Like, I never talked about sexuality other than like, you know, just, oh, sex and dating's hard and stuff like that. And it was all superficial and like on the level stuff. It was nothing deep. And I think that's why I never went into it as hard as I wanted.
It was like more observational and less confessional.
Yeah. It wasn't personal or real in any way. And that's why I don't think that I ever like fell in love with it the way I have now.
And how many years of comedy were you? So how many years have you been doing comedy? How long have you been doing comedy?
On and off since I was 18. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. 13 years almost. Yeah. But for a long time I stopped to do improv. Like, from like 2013 to about 2016, I taught improv at high schools and businesses as like a side gig.
So, oh, wow.
I did that for like a long time.
That's awesome. Where, you said in the last year, you started going to therapy, got some diagnoses, started working on those. Where did that path cross with Ali Yeda and the Invisible Disabilities troupe show, open mic? Because it's kind of like a community now.
That was the luckiest thing in the world for me was Derek, our mutual friend Derek Dozer. He invited me to the one where he was at. And I went not knowing anything about the show other than that Derek was on it. And I sat through it, and it was so amazing. And the one that just caught my eye was one of the two closers was Emma Haney. And her set was so personal, so real, that I was like, oh my God, this is where I have to be. Like, and I've gone to every open mic since. I missed one because I had a panic attack last time. I saw you there and
you
wrote my name.
Wrote your name down and walked out.
It was so hot. I had a panic attack, left, like walked down the street and like sat at the park for the rest of the night. But I've been to every open mic, and I try to go to every show unless I'm booked. So every one of their showcases I try to go to unless I'm booked on another show, because it is my favorite show. It is the best show. It is so personal and real. I'm so excited for my October show.
I was at that show too, and I remember that Emma Haney set, and there was a point in that set where you could hear a pin drop, and like the crowd like gasped.
Yeah.
And man, that was an amazing night. I do remember Derek's set.
Yeah.
I definitely remember Emma Haney's set.
Yeah.
And I remember a couple of other sets. They're always so personal. And it's just, I think, so the open mics are kind of like a coming out of the emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And then the showcases are kind of like a celebration of the triumphs.
Oh, yeah.
Of being able to come, right?
Would yeah, you, oh,
I
absolutely.
I just came up with that theory right now.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, because the open mics, if anyone who hasn't gone, even if you just want to go to an open mic, it is such a fun open mic. It's not always comedy. Sometimes there's some music, there's poems. I've seen people do journal reads. It is the most unique and fun open mic to go to. And then their showcases are this clean, polished version of what you see at the open mics, and it's always so much fun. And I'm excited every time they have a new lineup because it's always stacked with amazing people.
I always get so excited to see who's going to be on the show.
Yeah.
The open mic is the second Wednesday of every month at Luna's Cafe in downtown Sacramento.
Yes. Yeah,
that's not considered Midtown. Yeah. I don't know. Anyway, I will post the link to the Invisible Disabilities Facebook page. The open mic is so much fun. It's so therapeutic, and anybody can go up at the open mic.
Yeah.
So we've seen poetry. We've seen just kind of, but I think like my first Invisible Disabilities open mic was like, I just talked. I don't think I had any jokes. I just talked, but from that openness of the talk, like I recorded it and I came home and I was able to find some jokes in that and that ended up being my Invisible Disabilities set. I think I've done, I did the showcase at Luna's and then I did the showcase at Punchline also.
Wow, so, that's awesome.
Alligator's Invisible, well, and I gotta stop doing this, Alligator, Drew Kimsey, and Amber Whitford's, all three of them have a hand in producing it, and at first I was like, man, that's a lot of producers, but they all definitely have their own role in the Invisible Disabilities production.
And Amber is the sweetest host of any show. She is a doll.
She definitely has her own style. I always look forward to the bear portion and how the crowd's going to react.
Yes.
And I hope to have all of them on the podcast at some point, either as a group or individually. They're some great people, and that Invisible Disabilities show definitely is helping a lot of people find a new voice in their own humor. I've seen a lot of comics in there just kind of pop in and drop a set.
Yeah.
And it's nothing like you've ever seen them do at open mics or at shows or at different types of events.
Yeah, it's completely different. I don't do any of my normal set stuff there. I always try to write towards my Invisible Disability. I always write for that stuff, and it's new every time I go to the open mic because I'm getting a set together for the showcase in October.
That's awesome. So you don't have your material just yet. You got some ideas?
I have 5 minutes that are really good that have been doing good around the open mics around town lately.
Okay.
But the showcase is 7 minutes, so I'm trying to get a one more good joke in there.
Definitely, definitely. It'll come to you. It might come to you like on the drive over there.
Oh yeah.
But it'll come to you, and that showcase is, when is it?
October 27th, and it's actually at the Comedy Spot instead of the Punchline.
Yes, I heard about that. Yeah, they had like some scheduling going on, and show must go on.
Punchline didn't have a weekend, but Comedy Spot stepped up and gave them a weekend, so I'm very, very excited to do it there.
That's awesome. Hey, let's talk about. I see a lot of shows getting posted, and it's like LGBTQ support shows, and like what's your whole take on like how do you identify yourself?
Okay, so it's a little complicated, but for myself, and when people ask, I always identify as bisexual. However, within the LGBTQ community, I am considered straight still, because everyone I date or have sex with is female, transgender female, or they identify as feminine. So in the community, I'm considered straight, but I identify as bisexual.
You know, I've had that, like, I've wondered that before too. Like, if a man was with a transgender, is that what you're saying? Transgender or transsexual?
Transgender woman, yeah.
Is transgender and transsexual the same thing? Am I mixing up names? Did I just make something up?
No, they're different. But it's kind of complicated.
It's complicated. So, yeah. You know what, man? And it don't matter.
Yeah, no, it doesn't. Love, yeah, right? Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah, and to me, it doesn't really matter. But I do. Generally date women or transgender women, so yeah, that's in the community I am considered straight.
Hey man, if that's what works for you, that's what works for you, and it just matters, like, you know what, an honest man's pillow is his peace of mind. So yeah, as long as you've got your peace of mind, and it seems like that not only do you have your peace of mind about it, but you understand like your role within the community and you're fine with that.
Oh yeah, I love the community, and it's Sacramento has blossomed into such a welcoming place for the community. There's so, like you said, there's so many comic showcases, so many drag queen showcases, there's so many queer safe spaces in Sacramento. It's beautiful. I'm very proud of the work that Sacramento's doing. We all have more work to do, you know, for every community, honestly, but I'm very proud of the work that Sacramento's doing.
That's awesome. Probably some other work you're really proud of. You talked a little bit about a theater group, or
yes.
You want to talk about that?
Yes, I run a nonprofit. Well, we're trying to get nonprofit right now, but I run a theater group with three of my childhood best friends. It's called the Beautiful Day Theater Company. We are trying to do one project a year where we do a theater show once a year. We did our first one last year at the Geary Theater there in Midtown. Right now we are trying to do a 1 hour monthly show that we want to shop around to like Luna's and Stab or Comedy Spot. But it's one that we've been working on and writing together for a while now.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
All of those places, Luna's, Stab, Comedy Spot, very supportive of the community. Comedy Spot's been really good to me, letting me try out a couple of 10:30 shows.
Oh, they're the best.
And Stab is great. They'll try anything there. Those guys are awesome.
So creative at that place. There's so many different places in Sacramento, and it's really awesome that they're all open to like new shows, new ideas, and they're very supportive of creative people.
Yeah, and we know lots of creative people.
Yes.
That's great. That's great. Do you think you said you're like evolving into some darker comedy, and you're working on like a character?
Yeah.
How's that coming along? And how much more work do you see before you have that where you want it to be?
I think I understand who the character is. So I understand the character. So writing is very easy. The character is just Buddy. It's just the darker version of all the things that I have to already deal with, or the things that I see, or the quirks that I have. But my goal is to write, like, not necessarily like a 1 hour stand-up show, but I want to do a one-man show.
Yeah.
More of like I've been testing my set in different ways at different shows. Like I did Corey Behringer's Yak, his comedy show at the Stab.
Right.
And I did it as though I was at a therapy session and the crowd was my therapist. And so I'm trying different ways, and I think that's what I'm going to continue to do for this character.
So, like, when you do that, are you, like, bringing the theater perspective into it? Like, using lighting, you're using, like, maybe backdrops?
For that one, I it was very simple. I do want to, my goal is to write a one-man show where, yes, I want to use all my theater knowledge, my lighting knowledge. I want to use stage, not props. I've never been really big into props, but I want to use like backdrops and different like settings for my one-man show. But it's more the character work. It's more the character itself.
Yeah, and I know like I want to start using like backdrops as well, and I know like the Comedy Spot is set up for that. I'm pretty sure Stab's second room is set up for that.
Yeah,
I think they are, or I'm sure it's something that they could do really easily.
The front rooms, the front area, you mean?
Yeah, what I'm talking about.
Yeah, there's plenty of room on that wall for like a backdrop or like a setup for a backdrop. Yeah.
Yeah, that would be awesome, man. I wish you luck in that.
Thank you.
Anything you want to plug your social medias real quick?
I think on both Instagram and Twitter you can find me at BuddyBlast88, all lowercase.
I always sit and let you guys like spell out or like try to describe your social media, but I link your social media to the podcast webpage.
Yeah, so, but for those who don't,
not a lot of people check out those links.
Not everyone reads the links. Yeah, yeah. So yeah, that's where you can find me. And I don't have a Facebook page yet.
Okay, yeah. Right on. Well, hey man, I really want to thank you for coming by the Comic Talk Studios. Is there anything like that maybe you wanted to talk about that I didn't touch on? Because we can definitely talk about it.
I think we're good. We had a little discussion.
Okay, yeah, I think we had a really good little discussion. And thanks for stopping by the studios, man. And I wish you luck, and I'm sure I'll see you around the scene.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, man, take care.
You too, man.
Peace. Bye. Hey, man, that's the podcast. Thanks for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed. I hope you laughed a little bit. I hope you learned a little bit. I hope you come back. Peace. Take care of one another.